Okay, we're starting to record now, guys. Here we are. All right. So the Seer Shalom Parshat Bamidbar, but I'm going to go a little off track as I did last week with the Shilei Pinchas, the Sefer that I have really learned a lot from, and I think it'll give us an insight to Shavuos. But before that, I just want to say one thing. I think that's very important. There's various opinions about what to do now when people are going into shuls, not going into shuls. Different rabbanim are saying different things, and obviously one has to listen to the rav that they go to, and that's your guidance. And I heard a comment, somebody said, there goes the achdus in the city. Everyone was on the same page until now, and all of a sudden it got, everyone went their own way. And I just want to respond to that comment because I think a lot of people may feel that way, but I think we have to step back a little bit. Before we go back into the shul, let's understand why, or again, we don't know exactly why, of course not, but we were driven away from it, right? And we were driven away from each other. And going back in, the way we should go back in is not with the divine. The way we should go back in is understanding and in unity, even if we're not on the same page. And what I mean is the following. Rav Zev left Rosh Yeshiva, and he's in Moshe Matasyahu, said the following beautiful thought years ago I heard from him about Megillah. The Megillah can be read, Yudalef, Yudbeis, Yudgimel, Yudalef, and Teslov. 5 different days you could read the Megillah. And he asked a very interesting question. He says, Purim is a time of Akdos, a time of everyone coming together. You want to have, Amon, you want to have as many people as possible by the Megillah. It's Pesumei Nitza, it's beautiful, everyone together, the Akdos of Klal Yisrael. How could it be that Chazal said you could read it on different times and different days? Wouldn't you want everyone to be the same time, same day, same place? That's real Akdos, let's all come together. And for Rav Hamadus Melech, it'll be beautiful. Why did Chazal say we started with Megillah? You could read it at so many different times. He said a beautiful thought. Achdus does not mean everyone is doing the same thing. That's not what Achdus means. That you demand or that you expect everyone to be just like you. Achdus means we can be doing different things at different times. And we can all respect each other, even though we're doing it at different times. Right, that's Achdus. Achdus is the other all reading the Megillah, and you do it on your Yudalef, and I'm happy for you doing it on your Yudalef. And you're doing it on your Beis, and I'm happy for you in the city, you're doing it on your Beis. And I'm happy for you. We're all happy for each other, wherever you're doing it. It doesn't make a difference. You don't have to do it my way. We just have to do it as a cloud, and we're all serving Hashem, and we're doing the rest of Hashem, each in their own place. I just want to caution, that's why I'm starting off, this is not really what the share I was going to discuss tonight. But we have to take that message as Mr. Shem. Those who are going to go back to shul a little bit earlier, those who are going to wait a few more weeks, those who are going to wait another week, whatever it is. Even when we go back, it's going to be slow with 10 people at a time. Whatever the guidelines will be that are legal and that we're being advised by rabbanim and medical experts. But there shouldn't be a feeling, these people, they're not really doing it right. They're not doing it like us. They broke away. We're supposed to do it. No. Then we miss the boat. We miss the entire message. If we were at a shul for 9 weeks and we could still be talking bad about each other, that's not a good thing. That's not achdus. And it's not fair for anybody to demand achdus of someone that you have to listen to my rub or to my thing or to my thing. No. At the end of the day, this is how Klal Yisrael is. There's many different movements, many different groups, so to speak, within the Orthodox world. And we have to respect the bracha that each one of them have with what they're doing. And we all have to take that message. And I believe that's the message of the Megillah. So we're not doing it exactly the same time. It's okay. Let's not bash anybody else. Let's not put anybody else down. Keep your opinion to yourself. And step back. Step back. Can really dive in for Klal Yisrael. Real achdus is that we care about each other and that we respect each other. So I'm hoping that at least we walk it back into shoals, not being upset at each other, but walking back, diving for each other, feeling for each other, and hoping that this whole situation ends in a very quick and expedient way so that we could really grow in Ruchnius and the place that we really belong in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So that was just, I felt like something that had to be said because I've heard too much about it, and I just want to at least put it out there. It's something that we should think about. Okay, let's go a little further. Let's go into Bar Midbar now and the topic for tonight. So Bar Midbar is always the parsha read before Shavuos. So the first question is why? What's the connection of Bar Midbar before Shavuos? And I think what's even more than that, we see that Chazal tells us something, that there are three things Bar Midbar represents. There are three things that through those three things, this is how we acquire Torah. And it's signified by H, Mayim, and Midbar. Those are the three things. As Chazal tells us, and as is brought down in the beginning of it says over here, brought down in the Midrash like this. That because Moshe Davish on Moshe Midbar Sinai Bel Moed, Hashem spoke to Moshe Midbar Sinai Bel Moed. He tells everyone, tells him to count everybody, and then comes the thing. The Shosh Kibul Yisrael Satira. This is what the Midrash says. When Christ told him to Kabul Satira and his kind of woman started on back, the nations of the world were jealous of them, and they said the following: they had a question. My role as Kabul Yosef was what? Why do you see fit to have Klal Yisrael be closer to you, Hashem, than the rest of the world? So Sosan Bihama Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu closed their mouth. And all of them, he said to them the following: Hey, if you only say, bring me your yichus, bring me your lineage, bring me where you come from. Shemar, Havul Hashem Mishpachos Amin. Hashem said, come bring the mishpachos of the nations of the world. We say that in davening, Kabbal Shabbos. So Gishem Shabbat, Banai Meviyat, do it just like my children bring. Okay? And by Yisalva Mishmachosam, and it says there, Kach Banai Yisalva Mishmachosam. So we need to understand what's going on. Because Baruch Hu is answering that we have Yichus, and therefore that's why he has a close relationship to us. Why is that a fair answer, number one? Number two, generally Torah is not a Yichus thing. Right? It should be something that the Mishnah says it's not a Yerusha for you, it's something you got to earn. So why is it, how is this a good answer, a proper answer to the Umos Ha'olah? And then backtracking, I'm sorry, the Midrash also says, as I started talking about the three things that are necessary, the Midrash says, the Midbar Sinai, the Kanshanu Chachom, the Gimel Dvarim, Nidna Torah, three things the Torah was given, the Eishu, the Mayim, the Midbar. And it quotes the Pesukim that these three things were present at Sinai, that we needed these three things, fire, water, and desert. So we need to understand what's fire, water, and desert. What do they represent? So we've got a couple of kashas here. We first need to understand why Bamidbar, what's the message of Bamidbar being before Shavuos? What is it about the Sefer Yichus that Hashem says in the Midrash that looking at the Yichus of Klai, so we then have a close relationship to Hashem, and that was the answer to the Umos Ha'olam. And thirdly, what are these three components that the Midrash brings down, Eish, Mayim, and Midbar, that seem to be prerequisites for Torah that we need to grow in Torah? Okay. So those are three things that we're going to try to jump on tonight. And here we go. So we'll start it off like this. When I work backwards, Eish, Mayim, and Midbar. So what are we referring to when we say Eish, Mayim, and Midbar? Just that there was fire at Har Sinai, water, Midbar, like what do we really mean? What is it? Fire, water, and desert. What are those components?
The way we travel.
Okay, we traveled with the Be'er, we traveled with the fire, so to speak, we were in the Midbar. So that's great. What does that do with Kabbalah Torah? What does that do with Torah? We travel that way. Great. Nice feature. What?
We were all one camp.
We were all one camp, okay. So that's an Oscar's theme. But why specifically fire, water, and desert? There's something unique about those three things. I'm going to share with you. Here's the idea that the Shilei Pinchas brings down in the Sefer. And he says the following. The ancient mind of Midbar, there's a deeper kavana here. It's not a kavana of exactly how we traveled in the Midbar. Yes, we traveled that way, but there was symbolism to something much greater. And something that happened before and now. Let's go to H for a second. Because H, there was a time when someone dedicated himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and threw himself into a fire when he was tested. Avraham Avinu. The Kifshana Eish was tested by Nimrod and thrown into the fire. And the Mesiras Nefesh that Avraham Avinu showed that he was ready to do that, that is what's represented by Eish. There was a fire, there was a passion in what he believed in. He was thrown into a fire and he overcame that decision, that test, that challenge. Then comes water. There was a time in our history where water was a mysterious nefesh challenge too. We're talking about dedication. As Klal Yisrael approached Kriyas Yam Suf, and they had nowhere to go. And they're looking at Moshe, and they say, where do we go? What do we do? And the team are chasing us. And then Hashem says, Matitza Gelai Dabo V'Yisrael V'Yisrael speak to Klal Yisrael, go, travel. And that's when another jumps in, and they all jump in after it. It was a mysterious nefesh of a people. So H is representative of the mysterious nefesh of an individual, Avraham Avinu. Kriyas Yam Suf, or Mayim, is representative of the mysterious nefesh of a cloud that we all jumped in with Kriyas Yam Suf, and we all trusted Hashem, and we went through it. So now here's the difference. You see, Eish, again, is a one-time event for an individual. Kriyas Yam Suf is a one-time event where you muster the strength, and everyone, of course, a big challenge, but they came together and they did it. What about a sustainable event? What about something that's not just a one-timer? That was more tremendous and steady. That's Midbar. Midbar is Klal Yisrael went into the Midbar trusting Hashem. Let's take Akrai by Midbar, Be'er Kol Zeruah. They went into a place they had no idea how you're going to eat, how you're going to survive. They had total trust in Hashem. That was a mysterious nefesh of Emunah. Day after day after day after day. It wasn't a one-timer for an individual. It wasn't just a one-timer for a people, a moment where you could rise to the occasion. It was consistently living a life of Mesiras Nefesh in the Midbar, trusting Hashem. So Kabbalah HaTorah requires these three, H, Mayim, and Midbar. It requires the fire and passion of an individual to really step up and be most inevitable and push oneself, learning in every different types of situation, as the Rambam says, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're sick, whether you're not. You always got to find time to learn and to push yourself and to grow and to have strength of character. That's individual. Then you also have to be part of a klal. Right? You have to be part of a klal, a chabura, learning, growing together, a shul, a spenders, a beskazas, wherever we are. Shiva. Everyone is connected. We have to have every as a unit, as a group. And then more importantly, not just one time. It's got to be done consistently. It's got to be done every day. It's got to be done like the Midbar. It has to be done on a day-to-day basis, constantly being mechazik oneself, strengthening oneself in Emunah. Strengthening oneself in Emunah. I just want to share a story, short story, I think a powerful one also, that happened today. You're the first ones to hear it, or second ones, actually, because I told my children before. But so I was in you know, in a work mode and going through budgets, which, of course, for next year, everybody's challenged the not-for-profit world with budgets and tried to figure out, you know, who knows how much money you could raise, who knows what programs you could keep. And we're all davening and davening. Hashem, we're in your hands. We have no idea. We're trying our best. We just do all what we can do. We try to figure out the numbers. And I was spending hours on it this morning. And the numbers weren't looking quite as good as I wanted them to. As much as I tried to turn the page in different directions and maybe switch them, reality was reality. It was not looking that great. And I'm on the phone then with my controller, who obviously is not Jewish, and we've been talking back and forth, and we come up, okay, we could look at this, look at this, we're going through the entire budget, and by the end we get to a number where we say, okay, we can get to this point, but this is still going to be the shortfall. There's still going to be this number that's out there that I just don't have a way of dealing with it yet, and we're going to have to figure it out, okay? That was a pretty large number. All right. An hour later, I get an email. And the email comes from someone that I know at the Federation who we do a lot of work with. And I had no idea that this was coming. And I get an email just, we just would like to let you know that in our next round of grants, relief grants that we are sending out to the community during this COVID crisis, the Associated Talmud Torahs will be getting a grant of X amount of dollars to help you during this time. And I'm just looking at my screen, and like, first I think it's a joke, so I make sure I open it up when I read the grant letter, and it's not a joke, and I see where it comes from, and it's real. And then I look at the amount, and I just stopped in my tracks. It was the same amount that I was just talking about an hour ago that I was going to be short. That same dollar amount was the amount they granted. An hour after that discussion.
That's cool.
And it's not, it wasn't like $5,000. It was a decent amount of money. And it's also a decent amount of money. I'm just saying, but it was a sizable gift.
We just don't have
it. Oh, listen, we still have more ways to go overall, but Baruch Hashem, yes. But I just froze. I said, and the first words that came out, I thought, the Hodel Hashem Kitzov, look at this. Did I create this? Did I do anything? I had nothing to do with this. Of course, I had nothing to do with this. Because Rogue was looking down and saying, I'm taking care of the children here. I'm taking care of the city here. I'm taking care of Chinuch here. Don't worry. Relax. You do your shtablet. Hashem says, I know what I have to do. And when you think you're running it, you're doing nothing. You're going through the motion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows you, live for you, day in, day out. And we have to show that we're there trusting in Him day in and day out. That's on us. And, you know, I think it's a chiyuv when you have stories like that, or any stories, listen, we all have personal stories, share, tell people. Clearly a Yad Hashem, that comes to place so many times. And it shouldn't just be with financial situations, with personal situations, with physical, you know, health. So many times that we see Yad Hashem in our lives. When you see it, say it. You know, they say when everyone was intensifying security in airports and all these signs up, you know, if you see something, say something, right? So instead of worrying about the physical dangers, let's worry about our spiritual dangers. When we see something, say it, right? Don't let it just stay inside. Share it. When you see something, share that spiritual moment. Share that spiritual idea. Share that bitachon in Hashem. That's what we all live on, is our trust in Him. Now let's get back to Bamidbar. So Bamidbar is actually a very key parsha here. A key parsha here because we just talked about last week, and the Mefarshim brings it down, that the Klolos of Bechukosai and also of Kisavo, the two parshas that have that, we always try to have, you want, like there's a concept before Shoshana, you tickle Shoshana, you kill yourself, that you want the clothes to be talked about and done with before Shoshana. And so too before Shavuos. Shavuos is also considered a Yom HaDin too. Because I'll bring down, Shavuos is a Yom HaDin on Torah. It's a Din on Torah as well, the Sfarim being down. And therefore, we want to get the clothes out of the way before the Din, so we read the little Kosei. But then we have a little break. Bamidbar is a break. Because we don't want to, we want to break up the clothes from the Din. And I think it's a very important message here. Because the Din Torah on Shavuos is the Din on our Ruchnias. How we're Makabal Torah, how we're going to grow this year. Well, in order to grow in Ruchnias, we've got to learn how to really value Ruchnias. And Parshas Bamidbar is planting the seed to us. Not only is it just a break from the Chukosai, from the Klolos, and making a wall between that time, Bamidbar is also training us to teach us how to make the most out of this Din Torah that we're about to approach. As the Medrash is telling us, this is the way you approach Torah. H, my Midbar. With Messias Nevis' dedication, consistently. And that's what last week in Bechukosa we said, Rashi, the famous Rashi, Bechukosa, if you are Amelim B'Torah, you have to be Amel B'Torah. And Chas V'Chalila, if one is not Amel B'Torah, I mean, the opposite, then a lot of qualities happen. So we see everything surrounds around the mail. It's about effort. How much effort are we putting forth? It's not how much we learn. You can memorize all of Shas. It's about how much effort you put in. How much did you try? How much Mesirus Nefesh? That's the key ingredient, is dedicating yourself and giving yourself up to living a life of Torah. And on this, this is where the Sefer Yichus comes into place. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was answering Umos HaOlam, and Umos HaOlam saying, why are you so close to Klal Yisrael? What about us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, bring your Sefer Yichus. What does Hashem mean by the Sefer Yichus? It doesn't just mean, oh, you have the Avos Imos, and therefore just do whatever you want, you know, because you had great people who lived in the past. That's not what it means. Shivik means we have something, and I've mentioned this in the past. It's like there's physical DNA, there's spiritual DNA. Klal Yisrael has spiritual DNA for certain times and certain moments in life. We have the spiritual DNA of Avram Avinu that threw himself into the fire. We have the spiritual DNA of all of Klal Yisrael, Kriyas Yamsuf. Themselves have a spiritual DNA too. And then we also have the spiritual DNA of those Heiliger, Dor Zeh, the Dor of the Midbar as well. We have that in us. And then Hashem is answering the Muslim. He's not saying, this is not unfair. They've already demonstrated this level of dedication and passed it on to their children. It started with one individual who had a tremendous Mesirus Nefesh. That individual's koichas of Mesirus Nefesh was implanted in his children, and then they were able to do it one time as well. And then after that, that gave them the ability to do it consistently day in and day out. So they've already demonstrated this level of Mesirus Nefesh. That's why Hashem said, I'm closer to them. That's B'nei B'chayri Yisrael. That's my child, my firstborn. Look at them. They've already demonstrated this way of life. They know how to commit themselves to something. So really, this medrash for these multiple medrashim are telling us a tremendous insight. Number one, on the ingredients we need to succeed in being mekabel Torah, where we got them from, and how we have to take it into the future. How we have to take it into the future and teach that to the next generations and to everybody else around us too. We have to keep on moving forward. I want to share a story. Beautiful story I heard this past week from the Kapishnitz Rebbe. Okay, the Kapishnitz Rebbe, I never met him. The story is about him from Bar Park. And the story was told over that every, before Pesach, he would go bake matzahs like many Rebbes do, many people do. And he took all entourage with him. Can they beat the Masters? Can they have to beat the Masters? The Rebbe would take out some money, and he would go around to all the workers and give them dollars for yontif. You know, they generally were not people who were, you know, who were that wealthy. They were poor people who were working hard for a living. And he gave each of them money for Pesach, which is beautiful. You know, people watched and saw that's a very nice thing the Rebbe did. But then again, what happened was in Erev Pesach, there's a minhag that many Chassidim do, others do as well, a minhag of Erev Pesach matzahs, to go back and bake matzahs on Erev Pesach. So the Rebbe takes an entourage again, goes back. Same people are working there the last day. And when he finishes again doing his matzahs, takes out money again and he's giving everyone again. So one yid says to the Rebbe, you gave me already. You gave me the money for yontif. He says, like, I don't. It's okay. You don't have to give me again. And the Rebbe said to him the following words. He said, I didn't come in this world just to be Yotzei Zayin, just to fulfill my obligations. I came in this world to continuously do mitzvahs. And what he was saying was the following. Yeah, I gave you one time. I fulfilled the obligation of taking care of the poor before Pesach. But you don't just do things just to fulfill the obligation. You keep on doing it. You keep on doing it. You don't stop doing it. That was his message. And I believe that that's very much in sync with what we're saying here. This is how we approach Kabbalah Tatzera. You don't just do things, you know, a one-time mysterious nefesh or one-time, no. We keep on going. We keep on pushing. We keep on trucking. We keep on moving forward. We keep that momentum going. That's Klal Yisrael. And that energy has to keep on going. And even if, whatever the situation may be, if we don't know, even if we'll be able to daven in shul in minyanim or small minyanim shvuos, certainly does not seem like we'll have a big mishmar night together. That one won't be possible by any stretch of the imagination right now. And most of us will be individually learning on our own or in small groups, wherever we may be, social distancing, etc. So we have to keep on going. That's the Messiah's never has been asked of us this year, too. It's not just a one-time thing of Klal Yisrael. Kabbalah Torah, keep on moving forward. Keep that fire within us and that passion and that drive to want to connect to Hashem. And that's what Parshas Bamidbar teaches us. It teaches us the tools to break away from klala and to come into bracha, the tools to be able to give ourselves up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tools to be able to be consistent in our avodas Hashem. And I believe that's the best message for all of us, consistency right now. So even in the last weeks, I'm sure many people took on different things. So different Kabbalists, everyone individually, I'm sure, was thinking of things you could do to improve your davening, improve your learning, improve your midos. Okay, so you take it on, and after a while, it gets a little stale, right? And you're like, okay, I did it 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But maybe that's the point. We're just counting, we're middle of counting sphira. That's what it's about. Week after week after week is consistency. Tamimos has two meanings. On one hand, it's completeness, wholesomeness. It also means simple, tam. As we know in the Haggadah, the four sons, one of them is a tam, who's simple, doesn't even know what to ask. So how do you understand that the word tam can mean two totally different things, right? Simple or complete? And I think the answer is very simple and complete. The answer is that when you are steady. And how do you become steady and complete in doing your mitzvahs? Is when you take a simple approach. Day at a time. One day at a time. You don't start changing the game in the middle and start asking questions and saying, oh, why am I doing this? I only needed to do it then. No, just keep on doing it. Keep on pushing. Keep on moving. Simple. I don't need any tires here. Just simple. I made a Kabbalah. I'm going with it. And my mysterious never says I'm supposed to keep on going with it and keep on moving with it and growing every day and getting stronger every day. That's tam and tamimus. That means you can be totally a complete person, full of shalom, when you're simple, when you don't make things too complicated. So Mr. Shema should make things simple. Follow the simple message of Bamidbar. The simple message of Bamidbar. Stay in, stay steady, stay strong. And Mr. Shema, we will see. And just like at Har Sinai, we were able to see the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was able to talk to us, and we were able to answer Nasev and Nishma, that we should be able to continue answering Nasev and Nishma. We want to keep on doing, we want to keep on growing, we want to keep this moving all the way to Eretz Yisrael and Yitzhak Hashem, with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash from Herev Yameinu.